Welcome to the Dirt Doctor Show for natural, organic gardening advice. And now the Dirt Doctor, my dad, Howard Garrett.
Thank you, Logan, and welcome everybody to the show. To be on the show and chat with me about gardening or landscaping or pest control or whatever you'd like to discuss, health issues, give me a buzz at 866-444-DIRT, which is 3478, 866-444-3478. We've been talking about quite a number of pests so far this week. Last week, grasshoppers seemed to be the big deal everybody was calling about, having huge problems with them. Haven't heard from anybody today. I don't know if those big problems still exist out there and people are just tired of talking about it, or they got them somewhat under control using the kale and clay, which is a very fine textured clay powder mixed with water, sprayed on plants, repels grasshoppers very well in a lot of cases. Some of the people calling last week were talking about these biblical levels of grasshoppers coming in great huge clouds. And when that's the case, it doesn't matter what you use. You can use a nuclear weapon on them and it wouldn't slow them down much. It's just, you know, there's just too much and it overpowers whatever you try to use. So I hope that's not still the case out there. If anybody's got a report for us, though, be sure to call in and let us know. Normal invasions of grasshoppers, though, can be handled with the kale and clay very well. The commercial product is called Surround, and it's a little bit more available today than it was a year ago. It almost vanished, and we've kind of help get it back and available to people. So if you got grasshoppers or stink bugs or leaf-footed bugs or any spotted cucumber beetles or any of these real tough insects that sometimes hit the vegetable garden and other techniques, garlic pepper tea, bio-wash, Garrett juice with orange oil, all those techniques aren't working that well, you might try the Surround product. Okay, to the phones and try to catch up. Let's see. Somebody called in, a retired pest control guy, said to treat the underside of foliage with the garlic. Don't just soak the ground. Yeah, I recommend treating everything. The trunks of trees, shrubs, underside of leaves, top side of leaves, ground, with the liquid garlic and also with the liquid BTI products, whatever you're going to use, treat everything. Because I think it's a fairly little known fact that mosquito larvae can breed in extremely small bodies of water called, you know, I call them micro breeding sites. And that's why you want to spray whatever you're using all over the place. Of course, we don't recommend any toxic sprays, and we for sure don't recommend spraying from trucks and airplanes, because it really doesn't control the mosquitoes well at all. It doesn't address the larvae at all, and that's where the real control comes from. Well, Danny is next up in Bosque County, I believe it is. Hello, Danny.
Morning, Howard. Well, maybe here's your first grasshopper thing. Just an observation. We've got about 2 acres of yard that we don't irrigate in the summer. Away from the house is buffalo grass, a little closer in Bermuda, and then under our trees is horse herb. Well, so now that everything's starting to dry up, I walk through the grass, and the grasshoppers are hopping around and stuff. As I walk through the horse herb, there's almost no grasshoppers. Hmm. I don't know whether that's the moisture that it's holding in. I don't know what it is. But I just wanted to pass that along as just an observation. I don't know. And normally I let that go dry too, just because we don't have the don't tax our pump. We normally just try to water our shrubs and perennials in the summer and let the grass go down. But this year I am going to be trying to keep the horse herb going, just because of this anti-grasshopper effect that seems to be going on.
Well, that's really interesting. I wonder if there's something in the plant that's a repellent to the grasshoppers.
But But, I mean, it's strange. Like I said, I walk through, and, you know, the grasshopper is bing, 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 and then I walk through the areas under our trees where the horse herb is still going, and, I mean, there's almost nothing.
Well, a rancher friend of mine several years ago reported something happening with grasshoppers on his ranch. He had a chinaberry tree in an area, and he had the typical fruit on the tree, you know, that looks like soapberry, the little pale kind of manila folder color fruit. And he said there was 10,000 dead grasshoppers all right underneath this tree, and he could only assume that they had eaten some of the fruit, and that's what had killed them. Well, that tree, the chinaberry tree, is very closely kin to the neem tree that we talked about early in the show. So we had some conversations with some of the listeners and put two or three people on the case of trying different forms of chinaberry and to see if it would work as a repellent to insects and or, you know, an actual insecticide that would kill the insects. People soaked the foliage in water and made a tea. They used the fruit and made a tea. Some used the bark from the tree. And we never could replicate what killed all those grasshoppers.
Well, I always heard that the chinaberry was poisonous. I'd always heard that.
Well, it is at certain times, but maybe you have like in that situation, the grasshoppers had to eat a fair amount of it and get it in the gut rather than just turning it into a spray that you'd spray across an area and it would function as a repellent. That's what I was hoping would work. But unless it's too big a population of the grasshoppers coming in, the kaolin clay does work very well.
Well, and I had also had some success just taking, and I know you don't like those hose-end sprayers, but taking DE and water and just putting it on the biggest possible setting and just spraying it around. Of course, you've got to get it on them, but if you get that DE on them, they're dead in 3 or 4 days.
Well, yeah, that'll work, and also it seems to help, and I've recommended this, to mix it with the kaolin clay. When you spray it, if you get that material on them, especially if it has DE in them, once it dries, it will function to kill the grasshoppers and other insects. The only reason I'm negative about it is that when you're putting it out on a regular basis, you're going to be killing some beneficial insects with it.
Well, I just wanted to share that thing. I just thought that was very strange about my horse herb because, like I said, I won't say there's none, but there's almost none in the areas. So I'm going to surely be, you know, for the first time watering my horse herb to make sure it doesn't go dormant since it does seem to have some effect for some reason on the grasshoppers.
Yeah, and we may try to harvest some of the horse herb from mowing clippings or whatever and get some people to try it out and soaking it in water and making a tea from it and see if there's any repelling qualities to the horse herb, or this is just an accidental thing that's happening at your place?
Well, exactly. Well, I just thought maybe it's keeping moisture in that keeps them unhappy. But anyway, I just wanted to share that with you, Howard. And as always, I appreciate you and your show very much.
Thank you, Danny. Thanks for calling. Let's
Bye-bye.
Go to Jack in Irving next up. Hey, Jack.
Yes, sir. Trying to spread my dry molasses with my current spreader. It seems like the molasses is too thick or too heavy, and it just doesn't work. And
it's bridging.
Could you suggest a type of spreader or even a brand?
Yeah, sure. I put it out with a spreader all the time. What kind do you have? Is it a drop spreader by any chance?
It's called Earthway.
Is it a drop spreader or a cyclone, a whirly bird type?
It's a whirly bird.
Is it? And it's bridging in that, huh?
Yeah, Jesse, you get the feeling like the molasses is so heavy it just clogs up.
Well, it generally goes through a spreader without any trouble at all, Jack. Did it get moist by any chance?
Now, this has happened. It just keeps happening. That's my point. I've been following your directions for a long, long time, and each time I get ready to put out my molasses, it just won't go through. I can put very little in it, and then that seems like with less volume it goes through, but it's not smooth at all.
And well, so, this spreader that you've got, does it have a beater bar down in the bottom of it that goes around and around and around as you push the spreader?
Yes.
Wow. Well, I don't know what the deal is. Whose product is it? Whose dry molasses do you have?
Oh, gee. Now you got me.
Did it come in a big paper bag? Or was it in a plastic bag?
You know, it's a 40-pound bag.
Okay. Man, I've never seen that happen before. We've had people complain about some of the organic products bridging in spreaders. The one we've had the most trouble with is lava sand, because lava sand holds moisture so well. But the dry molasses, unless it has gotten moist, normally goes through. The only thing I can recommend to you is try another brand of spreader that has a larger beater bar in the bottom, or kind of bounce the spreader as you go along the soil. Sometimes that helps as well. Let me put you on hold if you had something else, because I got to scoot for a minute. Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor, and I'll be back for you right after this.
BioSI is a leading manufacturer of beneficial microbe and enzyme products. BioSI products help build healthy soil to grow healthy gardens and food crops. BioSI products loosen the soil, reduce fertilization needs, and help reduce irrigation needs. BioSI can be used to treat flowers, lawns, shrubs, and trees, as well as herb and vegetable gardens. Water Doctor by BioSI cleans and maintains ponds, lakes, and water gardens. Contact them today at 866-393-4786 or on the web at biositechnology.com.
Okay, gardeners and farmers, for over 30 years, Arbico Organics has been a leading provider to growers nationwide. Arbico Organics offers beneficial insects, natural fly control, mosquito control, beneficial nematodes, grub and beetle control, insect traps, and many other pest solutions. Call 800-SOS-BUGS, 800-827-2847 to speak with one of their friendly specialists, or go online to arbico-organics.com. That's arbico-organics.com.
Last summer, mosquitoes carrying West Nile virus struck with a vengeance. Now it is time to protect your family, pets, and livestock with organic, easy-to-use mosquito donks and mosquito bits. Summit Mosquito Donks and Mosquito Bits kill mosquitoes before they're old enough to bite, and they are safe and effective to use in ponds, bird baths, rain gutters, and in any standing water. Mosquito Donks and Mosquito Bits are available at garden centers everywhere. Visit SummitResponsibleSolutions.com for more information.
The Texas Organic Research Center is a nonprofit research institute focused on the effectiveness of natural organic approaches in gardening, landscape management, and agribusiness. TORC wants to show that organics work better than chemical approaches, saves money, and helps us to enjoy healthier lives. The Texas Organic Research Center can use your support. Your contribution is tax deductible. Go to dirtdoctor.com and click on the Texas Organic Research Center logo on the bottom of the homepage to find out more about TORC and how you can help. To begin your natural organic program and get your lawn and garden off drugs, just follow Mother Nature's guide. First, stop hurting the life in the soil. Choose only products and techniques that are beneficial to the health of organisms above and in the soil. Stop using all synthetic fertilizers, toxic pesticides, and other toxic chemicals that harm living organisms. Avoid all high nitrogen synthetic fertilizers, especially nitrogen-only products. Toxic weed and feed products are the worst of all. Next, build soil health with aeration and natural organic fertilizers and amendments. And third, use native plants and well-adapted introductions. Finally, water only as needed. The organic program will reduce the watering requirements by about 50%. MoTurf is needed and mulch clippings into the lawn to return nutrients and organic matter to the soil. The natural way is fun, will save you money, and always works better in every way. After all, Mother Nature knows best. For more information about natural organic gardening, visit dirtdoctor.com.
It is not uncommon for the air inside a home or office to be more toxic than the air outside. This is because of the presence of toxic materials that outgas and the fact that homes and buildings are better sealed and insulated than ever before. Keeping windows open as often as possible allows fresh air in and keeps toxins flowing out. This is especially important when cleaning your home. Skip the store-bought air fresheners and instead try boiling cinnamon, cloves, or any other pleasant herbs. Also, plants may not make your house smell different, but are good for filtering contaminated interior air. Natural organic cleaning products are now on the market and are competing for that spot under your sink. They are non-toxic and they do not put off toxic gases. Visit howardgarrett.com for more information on how to live a healthier lifestyle and to find great products for your home that work well and don't contaminate the air.
My dogs eat only Munster Natural dog food. They do that because that's all we give them, but they really like it. When friends and relatives drop their dogs by to visit, they won't eat their own food if offered the Munster side by side. Dogs love the taste of Munster, and the ingredients are super high quality. A main point for me is the absence of toxic preservatives and the presence of some of the highest quality ingredients around, including prebiotics and L-carnitine, and also some unusual ingredients that I've been recommending for a long time. The chicken and rice formulas contain no soy, wheat, or corn. Some of the formulas are the original ones, so it's your choice. Munster Natural pet foods are made with grains from local farmers, and the bags are made right here in the USA, not in China. Everything about Munster Natural is quality and results in healthy dogs and cats. If your pet food store doesn't stock Munster, ask them to contact Munster Milling through their website at munstermilling.com about how to get the products in your area and make your dogs and cats healthier and happier.
Covering the bare soil around plants is crucial, and there are several mulch choices. The best mulch for any site is shredded recycled plant material such as limbs, leaves, twigs, dead plants, bark, spent flowers, and other plant debris that grew on the property. That's the natural way, how it is done in the forest and on the prairie. Second best would be purchased shredded native tree trimmings. Third in line is shredded hardwood bark. Pine bark and cypress are not good choices. Pine bark is just bad in general. It won't stay in place and contains chemicals that hurt plant growth. Cypress doesn't break down well. Mulch should decompose to create the true natural food to feed microbes and plant roots. Pine needles are good, but look out of place if there are no pine trees on the property. Lava gravel makes good mulch and has the extra benefit of keeping squirrels and cats out, but lava gravel has its negative points. It looks harsher than organic mulches, and it doesn't break down into humus. The best commercial mulch is a mixture of compost and shredded tree trimmings. For more information on mulch, go to dirtdoctor.com.
All righty, Howard, back with you. Let's see if we can catch up with things here. Frank in Frisco, first up. Hello, Frank.
Hey, Howard, how are you?
Doing well, thank you.
Got a question for you. I haven't been listening to you long, and I've just now got on your website.
Welcome aboard.
Thank you. I've got a crepe myrtle that's, of course, peeling. That may be normal, but it also has insects on it, and I think it has that powdery mildew and this some type of scale insect on it.
You got a little bit of everything going on.
Yeah.
Well, the exfoliation of the bark is very common on some of the varieties of crepe myrtles, and it does it to a degree on all of them. Some tend to do it more than others, and that's perfectly normal. There's nothing to worry about on that. If you have the powdery mildew, that's a fungal disease, and it's very common also. One of the things that people, Frank, when they're first learning about what we do here, are not really into yet is how important it is for any kind of a tree, but especially crepe myrtles, to have a very dramatic trunk flare exposed at the ground level.
Okay.
Have you heard that term before?
Yes, sir.
Well, most crepe myrtles are too deep in the containers when they're purchased, and then they end up getting planted a little bit deeper than that. If you look at some of the photographs that we have on the website, you'll see flares on crepe myrtles that are just really wide and very, very dramatic. And most people, in fact, I've even got one crepe myrtle that myself that I still don't have the flare exposed as much as I really would like to have it exposed, and I need to do a little bit more work to it. So that's the first step, and that's the first step of what we call the sick tree treatment. And the sick tree treatment is what will control the powdery mildew and any insect problems that you have on the crepe myrtle. It's to expose that flare properly and then aerate the root zone, stick holes in the ground, in other words, with mechanical equipment or however you want to do it. Don't till it, just, you know, stab holes or use an aerator or a turning fork and stab and open some air vents down into the soil. And then while the holes are open, you add the amendments that we recommend for bed preparation.
Okay.
Compost and rock powders and sugars, cornmeal and dry molasses, lava sand, green sand, you know, all those kinds of things that are listed on the on our website. And then you water all that in, and you put a thin layer of compost as a mulch. And if you have bare soil, you put shredded tree trimmings on top of the bare soil. And then the final step of the sick tree treatment is to spray the ground and the trunk and the limbs and the whole tree with this mixture called Garrett juice. And when you have mildew and scale and things like that on a crepe myrtle, I recommend that you add one of the following or all of the following: orange oil, the commercial product called Bio Wash, and hydrogen peroxide. Hydrogen peroxide, the way we mix it into the Garrett juices, we put about 8 ounces of hydrogen peroxide just right from the grocery store into each gallon of Garrett juice that's ready to spray.
Okay.
And you can use any one of those. You can use them all. If it's, you know, real severe diseases like oak wilt and rose rosette and things like that where people say there's no cure, we normally tell people to use all of them. But any one of those things will probably solve the problem in your case.
Okay. How do you expose that root flare?
Very carefully, because right. With crepe myrtles, that's such a thin bark tree, as you know, you can damage it easily. The best way to do it, Frank, is to hire some tree care company like Moore Tree Care that uses a tool called the air spade.
Okay.
And the air spade is a fancy sandblasting tool. That's what it looks like, and it blows out air at a high velocity. There's no sand or anything, obviously, in it. And the high-velocity air, if the operator knows what they're doing, will take the soil off of the flare and not injure the roots at all.
Okay.
You can do it yourself with a power washer. And some of my arborist buddies get real nervous when I talk about that, because when you use a power washer and blow water on it to expose the flare, if you're not careful, you can injure the bark with that tool. Some people do it by hand. I've done it by hand myself with gloves on and a stiff brush. If the moisture is not too sopping wet but not too dry, just right, you can brush the soil away from a flare with a stiff brush.
Okay. All right, Howard.
Okay.
Well, I'll be looking at your website. I appreciate it.
Appreciate the call. Thank you, Frank.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, I love to get new people on board here. This natural, organic way of doing things. Let's... I forgot one thing I was going to tell everybody, and drawing a blank on what it was. I'll think of it as we talk to Richard, maybe, in Colorado Springs. Hey, Richard.
Hey, Dr. Garrett. How are you doing?
Doing pretty good.
Hey, I got about 2 yards of my comp I made this winter, but I'm digging into it, and I'm getting all these big grubs, gray and ivory white.
Mm-hmm.
They're all curled up.
Are they as big as your thumb, or are they smaller than that?
Some of them. No, there's babies, and then there's big boys.
Okay. Well, the reason I ask that question, the smaller grubs are generally the ones that are destructive and eat plant roots. The big ones tend to be the larvae of what's called a rhinoceros beetle. And you can see pictures of that interesting-looking insect on our website on dirtdoctor.com. They will eat plant roots, but they don't normally. They normally are just... aerating the soil and feeding on dead and decaying organic matter. Beneficial nematodes are the way to go to control them if you do have the kind that are destructive. The ones that are good, you don't really want to hurt them. Let me put you on hold, and we'll chat off the air for a second, and I'll be back in a minute. Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor, right after this.
With SRN News, I'm Michael Harrington in Washington. Russia's state news agency says Edward Snowden has arrived in Moscow today on his way to Venezuela. The former NSA contractor is wanted in the U.S. for revealing highly classified surveillance programs. WikiLeaks says it'll provide legal help to Snowden. The anti-secrecy group says the former contractor left Hong Kong escorted by diplomats and legal advisors from WikiLeaks today. A base camp on one of the world's highest mountains has become the scene of an apparent terrorist attack. Police say at least a dozen Islamic terrorists wearing police uniforms attacked a group of foreign tourists and killed 9 of them. More than 6,400 runners have gathered for Boston's first major race since the marathon bombings that killed three people and injured hundreds. Boston Strong is the theme of this morning's 10K race at the Boston Common. A moment of silence has been held. This is SRN News.
I will never forget the day my son Jeremy told me he hated me and slammed the door in my face. I'm behavioral therapist Janet Lehman. Behavior problems can turn the child you love and your life into a nightmare. That's why my husband James and I created the Total Transformation, the step-by-step program that shows you how to fix the worst behavior problems and get your child to respect and listen to you again. No matter what the behavior, defiance, backtalk, angry outbursts, disrespect, we can help you stop it. Now you can get the Total Transformation for free. All you need to do is get the program and let us know how it works for you. You can keep it forever for free.
Limited number of free programs available. Call now 1-800-581-7226. 1-800-581-7226. That's 1-800-581-7226. 1-800-581-7226.
With SRN Sports, I'm Patrick Foss. Patrick Kane scored two goals. Corey Crawford made 24 saves, and the Chicago Blackhawks beat the Boston Bruins 3-1 Saturday night to take a 3-2 lead in the Stanley Cup Final. Kane had a terrific postseason when Chicago won it all in 2010, including the winning score at a 4-3 overtime victory in Philadelphia that secured the title. Now he's picking up steam as the Blackhawks move closer to another championship, collecting 7 goals in the last 7 games.
I think everyone wants to be that guy in big-time games, and I've been lucky enough in a couple to step up.
Game 6 is Monday night in Boston. The Jacksonville Jaguars have signed the second overall selection in this year's NFL draft, giving offensive tackle Luke Jokel a 5-year package that includes a signing bonus near $13.8 million. Jokel is expected to bolster an offensive line with the Jaguars that allowed 50 sacks last season. This is SRN Sports. In the American League, New York beat visiting Tampa Bay 7-5. Vernon Wells broke out of a slump, smashing a 3-run go-ahead double in the 7th for the game winner.
Anytime you can make the stadium go crazy late in games, that's the fun thing about being here. And you know what? We haven't won too many games like that lately, and so it worked out well.
Wells was in a 9-for-87 skid before delivering the big hit. In a battle of division leaders, Detroit clobbered Boston 10-3. It was Seattle 7, Oakland 5, Toronto 4, Baltimore 2. 10th straight win for the Blue Jays. Chicago beat Kansas City 3-2. Cleveland was an 8-7 winner over Minnesota. The National League, Hector Sanchez hit a walk-off single in the bottom of the 11th to give San Francisco a 2-1 win against Miami. Arizona beat Cincinnati 4-3. The West leading Diamondbacks with their 4th straight win. Milwaukee beat Atlanta 2-0. It was Colorado 7, Washington 1. Philadelphia 8, the Mets 7. The Dodgers 6-1 over the Padres. Interleague play, Houston 4, the Cubs 3. Texas 4-2 over the Cardinals. Pittsburgh beat the LA Angels 6-1. With SRN Sports, I'm Patrick Foss.
All righty, Howard, back with you. You might be able to jump on here real quick before we end the show, and if I miss you for whatever reason, you can email us info@dirtdoctor.com. The members get first treatment because we have so much of that comes in, but we'd be delighted for you to be a member. Doesn't cost much, and you get quite a bit, but anybody can send us emails to info@dirtdoctor.com, and we'll get your questions answered as soon as we possibly can. 866-444-3478. And Matt reminded me what I forgot to go into. I knew there was one other thing. I gave a roach bait answer earlier in the show that wasn't right. I don't know what I was thinking about. I said use baking soda in the thing. It might work. I don't know. I haven't ever tried that. It certainly wouldn't hurt anything, but the bait that we've used in the past that really does work well is Arm & Hammer detergent, Arm & Hammer washing detergent, and sugar, one part of each, in a little bait station. You can put it in a lid or a little saucer or whatever. Nothing toxicant at all, sugar and Arm & Hammer detergent. mixed together attracts roaches. They eat it. You'll see them walking around. At first, you'll see more roaches because they'll get into it, and it disorients them, and they're walking around. You can kill them or throw them away or just wait, and it does kill them. I've had a lot of people tell me that it works very, very well. If you put a small pinch, a very small pinch of boric acid in with that mixture, it works even better. So give it a shot. 866-444-3478. Here's Snake Man Daryl. Hello, Daryl.
Hello, Howard. How are you, sir?
Doing pretty well. How about you?
I'm doing well, thank you. It's the busy season. I'm doing lots of libraries. Oh, gosh, I'll be, in fact, if anybody wants to catch the show for free, you can catch me at North Park this weekend at 2 o'clock in the center courtyard. It's the Bookmarks is the annex for the Dallas Public Library. And
oh,
they
cool.
book me four times a year or something.
Do you bring bunch of your snakes in and do a presentation?
Yeah, I'm the world's only stand-up comic snake-handling magician.
Okay, there you go.
There's nobody doing quite what I do. Anyway, the question I had for you, and by the way, I really like the roach thing that you just talked about, and I'm curious if that means that just sugar and baking soda would do it. I'm wondering.
It might. It'd be worth a try. It's funny that popped into my mind instead of the old original recommendation. So it'd be worth giving a whirl. I think the reason that the Arm and Hammer works is there's probably some borate or boric acid in that product.
That wouldn't surprise me at all.
Yeah. So anyway, yeah, give it a shot. You're in charge of that research.
Yes, sir. Well, I wanted to reiterate my invitation, though, for you to come meet Kathy. I mean, you always close your show with Don't Forget to Feed the Birds. And I don't think there's anybody in the Metroplex that is feeding more birds than Kathy.
Okay.
And it's amazing to see as her people feed the little babies that got rescued because the whole nest fell. And the it's just a really amazing place.
Yeah, remind me this week and we'll get together and do that.
Okay, we'll do.
You had something about garlic?
Oh, yeah.
you forgot what you called about.
There was something else. It doesn't matter. Those two will do it.
Well,
One more thing, though. People were seeing snakes because this is when they start getting rare, okay, because it's getting hot again. And so you'll think that you have many fewer just because they're all sort of hiding from the heat. But what will happen is in late July, early August, all into September is when the babies will happen. The ones that lay eggs will have done so some time ago, and they don't stay with the eggs because they have no body heat to brood them with. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So they do none of that. But and they won't even be there when they hatch. But the ones that give live birth, which includes all of our venomous snakes except the coral snake, and it also includes the garter snake and some other non-venomous stuff, it's still August and September when babies happen. And one minute you got one snake and the next minute you got a bunch. But they all go their separate ways. Snakes don't do families. A lot of people assume that. You see one, there's going to be a bunch. And that only happens for a very limited time is basically what happens because they all go their separate ways. It's just mm-hmm. like any, birds having big litters. If you call them litters, big broods, whatever, is a matter of not all of them surviving. Although I got to tell you that that chicken that is not mine but seems to live in my yard because I'm the only non-toxic yard in the neighborhood, his hen had seven little chicks, and I'm used to little chicks being fragile little things, you know what I mean? These things are thriving like crazy. They're half the size of the hen now, all seven of them.
Mm-hmm.
So, I live in a world full of birds. And, of course, as you know, I'm 500 yards from a rookery of – oh, I'm guessing maybe 15,000 egrets. I have the most interesting skies in Dallas.
Yeah. Well, one of the things that was interesting on TV yesterday, I was watching just a minute or two, I didn't watch a lot of it, of the PGA golf tournament, and there was a duck in the lake, and all the little ducklings were up on the back of the duck swimming along, and it was the cutest thing you've ever seen, and I've never seen that before. I guess that's a protection thing when there's some kind of predator around, but normally you see them swimming along with mom.
Maybe that means there was a water snake in the water beside him.
It might have been, but it was pretty interesting little deal. I don't know if I have that recorded or not. I don't think I do. Anyway,
I remember the garlic question real quick. The granulated garlic, you said last the only place you'd seen it very easily found was at Sam's. My membership is Costco. Do you know any place? I've got a little bit of a mosquito issue going, and I was kind of thinking about being on the hammock all night for the full moon tonight.
Well, no, any place that sells the bulk groceries, you just want to buy as large a container as you can find. And I have found it at Sam's before, and I think I've found it at some of the other big grocery stores as well. What you want is dry, granular garlic, not the stuff that's still moist. You want the dry product, and you just go around and sprinkle it around the site and put it into pots and potted plants and everything like that. And for some reason, sometimes it's incredible how well it repels mosquitoes and keeps them away. And at other times, it seems like, well, they didn't get bothered by it much at all. So mosquitoes are tough to really, really get under control.
So does that mean like hanging a wreath of garlic around your neck like they do in the vampire movies might help?
Nope. We've had people suggest that, as a matter of fact, and that does not work. Thank you, Daryl.
Take care.
Talk to you later. We've got wide open lines, too, if you want to jump on here at 866-444-3478. One of the things that I put on Facebook, that if you haven't seen it yet, Judy loves turtles, and she always is picking up turtles out of the street. And I guess when that happens, they're probably moving on to find a place to lay some eggs, because every time we've done that, we've ended up having the turtle lay eggs in our yard. And we've got a fencing system now. Some of you got in on looking at that and having a lot of conversation and fun with all my different fence designs that I have at home. And we've done such a good job of doing the fences now on our almost an acre that the turtle saved from the street, put into our koi pond, decorative water feature, gets out and tries to get off the property and can't get out. And we keep finding the turtle, because Tater or Tony, one, will find the turtle and, you know, make a big ruckus. And we find the turtle, put the turtle back in the water. Well, Judy finally took the turtle back to White Rock Lake. So we are turtle-less at the moment. But I got a feeling that we're going to have babies show up on the site any day now. We did last year, and they were great. They were little bitty things like you see in a pet store at first, and hung around for quite a while. Got bigger and bigger. They came up and ate with the fish when we fed the koi, and then all of a sudden they disappeared one day. And we wondered and worried if it was a big egret that was showing up from time to time, or if it was the big water snake that we've shown some pictures of on Facebook and everything. But some of the people that are turtle experts that we've talked to say that we probably just had a situation where they migrate, and they migrate downhill. They tend to go away. And when they were little, they probably figured some way to get out of there. So we're saying that was what it was, instead of getting eaten by a big heron or by a snake. Well, we've got some people calling in. Let's just visit a little bit more here, and then I'll try to work in a few more things before we finish up. In Kaufman, Texas, here's Beverly. Hi, Beverly.
Hey, I just wanted to tell the fellow that called in about the grub worms in the compost pile.
Uh-huh.
I've had horses for years, and we dump, you know, we have a huge compost pile, and every year when I do my garden, I go out there and dig up, and there's always, always grub worms there. And so what I started doing years ago is, we've got a pond that's stocked with fish.
Mm-hmm. Great food for them.
The bass just go nuts, oh, yeah. And you see a spectacular show because they jump up, and, you know, so that's what we do. And so I look forward to getting the grubs because it's such a fun sight to fish.
Yeah, that's a good idea. I think that for the most part, those that are showing up under the compost pile are the beneficial ones because they're feeding on dead and decaying organic matter. There's no plant roots growing under the compost. But if you need to feed them to the fish and the fish enjoy it and get benefit from it, that's great.
That's all I had to say.
Okay, thanks for calling.
Uh-huh.
Let's see what's up with Ken in Watauga. Hello, Ken.
Hi, Howard. I have a remedy for the gentleman that had trouble with his dry molasses in the spreader.
Okay.
I run into it as well. Sometimes it gets clumpy, even though it may be dry. And what I do is I mix it in the wheelbarrow with a little bit of compost and let the sun dry it a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
And then I take and load my spreader and spread it out. It, you know, it may be a little bit more work, but it sure avoids the aggravation of it getting stuck in your spreader.
Well, that concept is pretty good. Like I was telling him, I've never had a problem with the dry molasses going through my spreader, but with products like lava sand that do bridge real badly, what I've done in the past is mix dry humate, kind of your approach there, or
right.
You can use any kind of a dry material and kind of cut it a little bit, and then it just zips right on through the spreader without any problem.
Yeah, I do the same thing with my corn gluten meal. I'll mix it all up.
Ken, hang on a minute. We're going to have to take a little break. Hang on if you got something else. I'm Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor, and I'll be back after this. Crazy water is so good, it's crazy. It also happens to be good for you as a sports drink. The all-natural minerals and electrolytes infused into crazy water deep underground by Mother Nature help your body rehydrate and recover much better than all the artificial colors and sugars found in most sports drinks. If you can't make the run all the way out to Mineral Wells, Texas, you can get all the crazy water you need at Whole Foods or Central Market. Crazy water, so good, it's crazy.
There's a new version of Garrett Juice coming onto the market. It's Garrett Juice Pro. And if you're a contractor, golf course superintendent, small farm, or growing operation, then these products are designed specifically for you. Green Industries is the manufacturer. It consists of oilseed extracts, apple cider vinegar, molasses, seaweed, bacteria, and beneficial fungi. There's also Garrett Juice Hybrid for those who haven't gone completely organic. To learn more or to order, call 877-665-2121 or go to GarrettJuicePro.com.
Prevent those frustrating seasonal symptoms, including sneezing, runny nose, and watery eyes that can spoil your time outdoors by supercharging your immune response right at the source, your digestive tract, where an amazing 70% of your immune cells reside. If your immune system views pollen, animal dander, or wheat as a dangerous invader, it will react by stimulating an inflammatory response and incite all those unpleasant symptoms. What you may not know is that the immune receptor cells residing in your gut all depend on a healthy probiotic population to function at their peak. That's why Dr. Fred Pescatore, a best-selling author on the subject, recommends Dr. O'Hara's probiotics as a top-tier defense in the management of seasonal symptoms. Dr. O'Hara's probiotics delivers live, beneficial bacteria in an easily absorbed formula and is backed by over 25 years of research. Discover the Dr. O'Hara difference and enjoy the outdoors again.
Dr. O'Hara's probiotics are available at Vitamin Shoppe, Whole Foods, Sprouts, and other fine health food stores nationwide.
Trees become infested with insect pests and diseases when they are in stress and sick. That's when Mother Nature sends in the cleanup crews. Insects and disease pathogens are simply just doing their jobs, trying to take out unfit plants. More plant sickness is environmental. Too much water, maybe not enough water, too much fertilizer, or maybe the wrong kind of fertilizer. Other culprits include toxic chemical pesticides, compaction of soil, and grade changes. There could also be ill-adapted plant varieties, overplanting single plant species and creating monocultures, as was done with American elms in the Northeast. The Dirt Doctor's Tree Health Plan is simple. Keep trees in stress-free condition so their immune systems can resist insect pests and diseases. The sick tree treatment is basically stop using high nitrogen fertilizers and toxic pesticides. Remove excess soil from the root flares, aerate the root zone heavily, apply organic amendments, and spray trees and soil with Garrett Juice. To learn more on maintaining healthy trees, go to dirtdoctor.com.
The first step to a beautiful lawn this spring is an application of Revive. Hi, Dale Langford here. You know, I've been writing lawn and garden columns for over 40 years, and I found one product that really works. It's Revive Organic Soil Treatment. Revive is a proven, unique formula of wetting agents, soil conditioners, and nutrients. It's organic-based, safe for kids and pets, and will not burn your lawn. Revive moves fertilizer and water down deep to the roots. Hey, that saves water and fertilizer, and that saves money. The results are spectacular. Get greener grass with less water. A lush, dark green, healthy lawn that you can be proud of. And remember, saving water is saving money. Revive is available at your favorite garden center. Visit Revive.com for more information and store locations. Use Revive every few weeks for the greenest lawn on your block. In fact, use Revive right now. It works.
I'm always working to find new and better organic products. One of the companies that helps me in that regard is the Medina Corporation in Hondo, Texas. They've been helping farmers, ranchers, landscapers, and homeowners with quality soil building longer than anybody in the business. Medina produces fertilizers and soil amendments, both in liquid and dry formulations, that work by stimulating the soil biology to help all crops. Whether growing landscape plants, herbs, vegetables, grasses, or trees, Medina has the products to help you budget wisely, effectively increase production, and treat the environment right. There's a new prilled organic fertilizer called Growin' Green Premium Lawn Food that I recommend you try. The commercial version of Garrett Juice Plus is also made by Medina, and it's available in all sizes, quarts, gallons, barrels, and even large totes. Remember to ask for Medina. The website's medinaag.com. You'll find the Medina label at all hardware, nursery, and feed stores that sell organic products.
Compost is nature's own living fertilizer and can be made at home or purchased ready to use. It can be started any time of the year in sun or shade, and anything once living, plant or animal, can and should go into the compost. The ingredients in your compost should be a mix of coarse and fine textured material to promote air circulation through the pile. Turn the pile as time allows to speed up the process. However, turning is not critical. Moisture is important. A compost pile should be roughly as wet as a squeezed out sponge to help the living organisms thrive and work their magic. Compost is ready to use as a soil amendment when the ingredients are no longer identifiable. The color is a dark brown, the texture is soft and crumbly, and the smell is pleasant like the forest floor. Rough, unfinished compost can be used as top dressing mulch around all plantings. Finished compost is used in potting soil and bed preparation. You can learn more about composting and natural organic gardening at dirtdoctor.com.
All right, Howard, back with you, and let's see if we can go to Richardson and talk to Terry real quick. Hey, Terry.
Hi, Howard. Didn't have a biology course, and so I don't understand why green grass trimmings and tree trimmings have protein, but the dried-out version of the same thing does not. What's going on there?
Well, the green tissue is real high in protein because it's just, you know, part of the green chlorophyll type material there. The cambium layer and the buds and all that green tissue has this protein, and in the protein, you know, protein is related to nitrogen, but there's other major nutrients and trace minerals in there as well. Once something turns well, there's two things. One is the wood, the cellulose inside, it never really had any protein much in it. It was always like 201 carbon to nitrogen ratio. You know, it's a lot more carbon material, cellulose and carbon, than the protein. As the protein part of it, what's the best way to explain this? If you piled up a bunch of green leaves and manure and all this stuff that's high in protein and composted it for a while, it would require different kind of composting techniques. It would require more air because it'd be anaerobic and real stinky because it has so much protein and so much moisture. So more air would be needed, and that air makes everything break down, and that carbon part builds up. The protein and the nitrogen stuff all is breaking down, and the carbon side of it is building up. You see what I mean?
Well, just because the water evaporates as the grass dries out, why does that change the protein or nitrogen content?
Because you end up with the not having the protein and the nitrogen goes away. All that's left is the cellulose and the carbon part of the material. The rest of it is volatilized away. It's eaten by the microorganisms in the site and all that. It's a whole process that changes the makeup of the material.
I just need a biology course. Okay, the other really curious thing is, how do the beneficial nematodes tell the difference between a bad grubworm and a beneficial earthworm? I've got lots of earthworms, and I don't want the nematodes killing off the earthworms.
Well, it's just that's a little harder to explain. It's just one of those checks and balances that nature has. You know, you can ask the same thing about why certain beneficial insects attack pests and don't attack beneficial insects. It's just one of those natural balances that nature has. People argue with this point. I think that trichogramma wasps will not hurt butterflies and some of the really beneficial moths that pollinate night blooming plants and all that. I think part of it is because the eggs are bigger and have a thicker skin, and part of it is just that checks and balances again. Some of my colleagues will argue that the trichogramma wasp will hurt the butterflies, but it's just our research from looking at our own projects and other people's organic projects that use trichogramma wasp all the time, and we have tons of butterflies, gulf fritillaries, and the all the other beautiful. So for some reason, the trichogramma wasps were not attacking and killing the butterflies, but they are attacking and killing the moths that produce the caterpillars that eat our plants.
Isn't nature wonderful?
Yeah, it's just some of it's hard to explain, but we know it's there because we see it right in front of us.
We just be thankful, that's
yeah.
All.
Thank you, Terry.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. It's Dave in Aledo next. Hey, Dave.
Yeah, good morning, Howard. Long time. I talked to you a while back about ground-up vegetation from crews cleaning the right-of-way along the wires and so on.
Uh-huh.
And I had about three truckloads dumped in front of my house last year, and it's aged nicely.
Good.
And I got two more. And I'm starting to put it out, but I got a problem. I put it in some of the plants we got on our back patio. My wife sort of disabled, and she gets out there and plays around. But last night, she got bitten by ants. And
it has fire ants in it?
Yeah, I'm wondering, should I put some DE on it or some what would be a good thing?
I would mix some dry molasses into the pile, and then I would, after you've done that, throw natural diatomaceous earth all over the surface of the pile. That combination of things will probably get them under control. The other thing that you could do is get beneficial nematodes and apply them to the compost and to the area back there. But and I'd probably do that. That's just going to take you a little bit longer because you'll have to order them and get them in before you can do it. Dry molasses and natural DE you could do today and probably end the problem.
Okay. Well, that's good. The other thing, you're talking about feeding the birds. And I have a window here by my desk, and I've got a bird feeder out there. And there's this constant procession of animals that come. That the bird feeder is about the right height for the deer. There's this one doe that comes in, and she pretty much cleans out the chick scratch that I put in this thing and knocks a bunch of them on the ground. And then we got the cardinals and all the way up to and including the crows.
That's great. All kinds of activity there. I bet that's fun to watch. Hang on. Let me talk to you a little bit more off the air. Those of you holding else, I'll talk to you also. Don't go away. Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor, enjoyed being with you. Enjoy your gardens, and don't forget to feed the birds. I'll see you next week.